It is RPP 98.7, and that was the news. We're just going to play a little rendition of Wings from Maxon, because we have Maxon coming on next week.
Yes.
And she did this rendition of Delta's song, and then she sang it live, and it was magnificent, and Delta ended up harmonising with her. So I thought I'd just give you a bit of a taster of what we got for next week before we talk to Lee Russell. So here we go. Well, there she was. That was a little taste of what we have for next week. Maxon, a new talent that's a local girl. She's living in Rye as we speak. and she had a taste of fame with The Voice last year, and you know, is well and truly flying now, and is often singing all throughout. She's actually singing with Wendy Matthews.
Oh, wow. I love Wendy Matthews.
Down here in Mornington.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks. And cool. She also plays at Crown quite often. So lovely young girl who, you know, needs all our support. We need to
get her
out there. Yeah? Get her playing for the world. And that's actually her new album. There's a couple of them, but New World.
Mm.
Yeah, she's a wonderful young talent. Okay, now I'm very excited because we have the lovely Lee Russell that's entered the building.
Yes.
Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, girls. How are you?
Good.
Very good. Yeah. So now we're going to be chatting next week, and you have your story coming up.
Yes.
Not next week, but the week after.
Well, I've loved listening to stories this morning, and thank you so much, Simone, for sharing your story, because stories are powerful.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what this is all about.
Yes.
It is. And I'll tell you what, you've got a story too. Obviously, your family, well, football has been very good to your family, hasn't it?
It's been amazing to my family, personally and professionally. And yes, we've lived the football lifestyle, for better or for worse, for the best part of 20 years.
Wow.
Mm, absolutely. And there's big news in the paper at the moment.
Yes, yes. Well, yesterday was a very momentous day, I guess, for women in sport, but sport overall, in terms of Tracy Gaudry was appointed as the first female CEO of an AFL club, and it's been a long time coming in terms of making sure that females even got a foot at the recruitment table, much less in the door.
Amazing.
I was working in AFL clubs about 12 or 13 years ago, and people would say things like, "There is no chance that we'll ever have a female CEO," would scoff at those sorts of suggestions. So, you know, within that decade, there's been so much cultural change, and the time is just right for the best people to get those roles and to move sport forward.
Absolutely. It's just she's a cyclist, so you know, she's part of my own heart.
Yes.
Yeah. So Olympic cyclist, you know, in the 90s and into the 2000s. So
she's a perfect example of what sport needs. So, you know, she's got her own impressive pedigree on field, as we say, but she's also a class A administrator. You know, she's really done some of the roles around the world that have given her a very impressive CV. So for Hawthorn to actually retain somebody like that, it's just fantastic, male or female. So we're just so thrilled that she can be the first one, and then that, you know, the sound of glass breaking everywhere means that you know, women can see the way. You can't be what you can't see, and so it's absolutely so essential that we have these amazing women in our lives doing fantastic things in leadership.
I mean, you were CEO, weren't you, for Netball Victoria?
Yes, yes, I was. Yeah,
and you know, I'm thinking about, you know, what, you know, you'd know what she'd be thinking to some level, being in that role. What sort of changes do you think she could be, you know, considering and playing, you know, playing with her background and her skills?
It's been amazing, actually, firstly to see I've been reading comments about, I've been really curious to see what actually people's reaction would be to this.
Yeah.
And I'm just so delighted that most of the comments online have just been one of fantastic, sounds like she's a really well qualified person, you know, has been her own elite athlete and so on. Rather than, I reckon, you know, even 2 or 3 years ago, the sentiment would have been quite different. Mm. And certainly 10 years ago, when I was working in executive level positions in football, you know, I was being asked to do things like wear a tracksuit so that I could look like one of the boys.
Oh, really?
Hilarious.
I was
no lipstick allowed.
Oh, no. Well, you know, not pretty enough, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, hopefully she hits the ground running on a, on a cultural win. Yeah. That just gives her the fighting chance like every CEO needs to actually create change, some fantastic leadership, to look after people and to
make
do,
a difference.
Absolutely, do amazing things in the community. And that's what leaders are there to do. So I'm hoping that because, you know, times are in evolution or revolution, that she really does just not hit those barriers that perhaps some of us have experienced in the past.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's a big day for football.
It's
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what have you been up to? Because you're obviously crazy, crazy busy lady. You not only do you have your three kids to keep up with, which is busy enough on its own, by the way.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you and I, we've had one, that's more than enough. But to have three is
Well, I think actually after you have one, you might as well
just keep going.
Keep adding to
keep accumulating.
I'm not sure there's much difference between one and three because it's time on task, isn't
it? That's right.
So you might as well be doing it for more bodies. But I've been for the last, I guess, 5 years running my own consulting practice, so consulting back into sporting organisations. I've been writing, so I published a book last year called Game On, which
fantastic.
Is for women.
Yes, worth picking up, having a look. I've got it in my clinic, actually, and it's it's one of those ones that you can just sort of, you know, open a page and get a really nice insight, or you can read it front to back. You
it's
know,
definitely not a heavy read. Definitely. It's more we designed it so that if you were on the train going to work, you could put it in your handbag, pick it up, get a little bit of a dose of your inspiration or something that you just needed to read that day.
And by the way, it's not about football.
It's so not about football. How boring.
Although it's called Game On, it's more, isn't it? It's about, you know, your role as, you know, like trying to get that job as CEO or just into that job as CEO,
Just getting your game on no matter what it is, or a corporate or entrepreneur life or whatever it is. So Bianca Chatfield and I published that last year, and I'm just in the throes of starting to write another book, which will be very different to the first. And of course, locally we own F45 Training Mornington, which is a group training gym.
Talking about boot camps.
Yes. Which, Nan, I believe that you frequent quite a bit.
That's right. We're doing an 8-week challenge at the moment. So it started on Monday, didn't it?
Yes,
it did. Isn't that right?
That's yesterday.
I think it did. Yeah, I think it did. But fantastic setup and such a beautiful bunch of people down there. Like, as you would, Lee, you've attracted, you know, big-hearted, you know, kind. It's not that sort of big, chunky kind of...
There are no,
you know, it's
big fat necks, gym junkies anywhere.
No, it's not scary like that.
Definitely not. It's just a bunch of people trying to be the best they can be. So I love hanging out with our F45ers and such a great community spirit down there. So.
Yeah, well, as, you know, Lee brings all his skills in, so it's not like, oh, well, you just measure up and go and get fit. There's
definitely not.
Workshops on, you know, what are your goals? You know, what do you want? And not just from a sporting point of view, it's, you know, from a holistic point of view, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're very big on health for the long term. So while you mentioned our 8-week challenge, I've been really talking ad nauseum to people about just wellness mentally and physically for the long term. And I guess that sort of weaves back into my story, which I'll share in a couple of weeks.
Woohoo! Can't wait. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for on by. We're so lucky to have you. We're hoping you might bring some, you know,
food,
some muffins or something, you know.
Well, it is the 8-week challenge.
Oh, that's right. Oops.
Yes.
Celery.
Some celery or some carrots. But we were hoping for that because we have already got a sponsor for our show.
That's exciting.
I know. How nice is that? Oasis Bakeries. Which is so appropriate considering this time of day. And they are very much, they've been in the throes of having a pop-up cafe, which we've all been enjoying.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been a very local hub and quite kind of funky and kitsch. And they're now, right at this moment, moving across to between Nepean Highway and Benton's. While they actually build this, it's going to be like a centre point for everyone where they're going to be able to sit 250 people. They're even going to have a sort of a patting area with animals.
Fantastic.
My God, you know, and all sorts of exciting and entertaining things. So, and most importantly, they're going to have gorgeous, amazing food. Now, a lot of people know Oasis Bakery.
In Murrumbina.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love, I go there because... my son owns a gym up in Murrumbina as well. So I go in there after gym and you
undo
can get
your good work.
Yeah, so my good work. They have really good kebabs there. So. But they've got a whole, green grocery there. So you can get all your fruit and veggies and they've got all the spices and
they've
got donuts.
Sounds like it's going to be an amazing hub.
Yeah, it will be. And, you know, I think they have dips and, you know,
different types
of, you know, breads and everything. So
yeah, it's very exciting.
You'll be seeing us there.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to look out for them because next Tuesday, like I said, they're moving and they will be between Benton's and on that corner of Benton's and also Nepean Highway. Jess is going to pop in at some point and have a chat to us about their story, quickly about what they're trying to achieve and what their dream is.
Yeah, fantastic.
So a good dream for us locals.
Absolutely.
We need something like that. All right. Well, there you go. Well, thanks again, Lee.
Thank you very much. See
awesome
you next week.
To have you. See you soon. Okay. So now we're back into you.
Yes.
Back into you. Simone Walsh. So we've been chatting for the last hour about your story and some of the challenges you've had. You know, you're born in Sydney. You suddenly found yourself moving to Adelaide, a beautiful home, a sandstone home with a pool. And then unfortunately, father got pulled away by his, who knows, his dreams and ambitions,
yep.
As a presenter and a journalist. And you found yourself suddenly Frankston Caravan Park.
Yeah.
Seaford.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
and,
quite a shock.
Not only did your mum bring up you, but brought up your father's two children.
Yeah.
By herself.
Yes.
And you found yourself incredibly resourceful.
Yeah.
And learning about life real, real fast. So we want to kind of go into a little bit more about that. But first, why don't we get into a song, hey?
Absolutely.
Here we go. Well, here we are, RPP 98.7, and I'm here talking to Simone Walsh.
Yes. Your story counts. My story counts.
It does.
Yeah.
And it's a big story.
It is. We've only just got started. But
yeah, I know. And so we've actually beautifully killed a good hour and 20 minutes. So
we might need
3 hours.
The song Hold On, Things Will Go Your Way or Come Your Way, what I thought. That was true. So I met my knight in shining armor. He came when I was 18.
Okay.
Like I was looking to be rescued and then this man came and he showered me with all this love and attention and affection and gifts and romance. So I couldn't believe. He swept me off my feet really. And so I met him when I was 18 and then he proposed to me after 3 months of knowing me.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it. He had this ring in his pocket and he kept waiting for the right time to propose and
that would have been all your dreams come true.
He played You Are So Beautiful by Joe Cocker and proposed to me.
Yeah.
And then, we got married at 20. So I had the full-on church wedding, even though I wasn't religious. I wanted to get married in a church.
There's a fairy tale.
Yeah. And the horse and carriage.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow, did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a horse and carriage.
Yeah, and fuchsia bridesmaid's dress. It was really beautiful.
Oh, my God.
You're really 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the big permed hair then. I had permed hair.
Oh, did you? So was there lace?
Was there a bit of lace, but mostly.
Bit of lace. Yeah. Yes.
But the full-on wedding. And then I got pregnant at 21. Mm-hmm. And then I had my beautiful boy, Joss, at 22. So I didn't have a name for him before he was born the night before and I saw these credits come up and the word Joss came up in the credit. I thought, oh, that's a good name for a boy. So called him that. And then I just felt that in that relationship that he wasn't allowing me to grow and, you know, he wanted me to stay the 18-year-old and I was his world. So there's this big responsibility that I had someone my little girl wanted someone who was totally devoted to me, who would fly to the moon and back for me, that was never going to leave me. And yet everything the little girl wanted just still didn't feel right for me. My intuition was saying, this isn't right. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm going, but, you know, I don't want to break up the family home because that's why I didn't want that to happen. Because
you wanted to hang on to the fairy tale.
Exactly. And I'm repeating the patterns of my father. My dad left and now I'm going to leave. And, you know, Joss is, you know, 3.5 and like, I'm even going faster than my father. My dad waited until I was 4.5 at least.
Yeah.
So I had all this guilt, you know, I was just riddled with guilt of having to leave. And anyway, I said, do you want to go to counselling? He didn't want to go to counselling, didn't believe in it. So I thought, well, if there's no room to grow here, if he's not willing to do the work, you know, I can't stay in it. And I just knew that it wasn't right for me.
So you were sort of growing apart? Because I guess if you met at 18, you're quite young. By 25, you're probably, you know, changing as a person in relationships.
Yes. Well, I was growing. I wanted to flourish, you know. But certainly didn't know who I was by any stretch of the imagination. So anyway, I sat him down one day and I said, I'm going to leave. And he said, no, you're not. And I said, yes, I am. And anyway, he went off to work and I just grabbed clothes and and just, and I left. And so I didn't have I didn't touch bank accounts, didn't touch anything. I just wanted my freedom. I just left with the clothes, you know, and that's it.
It is funny how subconsciously, though, we create the same patterns, don't we? That same thing that your mum had to go through.
I know.
You kind of had to experience as
well. Yeah, yeah.
And see yourself be resourceful and come out of it.
Absolutely.
It's like you had to try it on for science.
Yeah, so I moved into this little one-bedroom place with Joss and, you know, started again. Had to start again.
It must have been a bigger driver. I feel like, you know, there must have been something that really made you go that night. You know, that made you feel like, I can't do this for another day.
Yeah.
Is it just that feeling of not being able to stretch your wings, you know what I mean? You know, be yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, mature, because obviously already you've had a big life and you wanted to keep that moving.
Yeah. But there was never going to be a good time to do it. Like, you know, you say, I'm going to do it tomorrow, and you can come up with another reason as to why you can't do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There's always excuses as to why you can't do something. So, you know, it was just really... I just woke up and I said, this is the day.
This is
the just knew.
You just know.
Yeah. And I just had the courage. And my parents were sitting around the corner, you know, just to make sure everything was going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I had everything going on.
Yes.
And they were incredibly supportive. And, well, my parents being – so when I met my husband, my mum met her husband. So it was like that moment we could – mum and I could separate a bit, become less codependent.
Yes.
She fell in love.
Beautiful.
I fell in love. And so we could get on with our lives a little bit, a bit more independent. So, yeah, so
– and he became a wonderful stepdad.
Yeah, he did.
He?
Yeah, he's very supportive. And, yeah, I really considered him as, you know, a father figure for me for the first time. I had someone who didn't
stable.
Want anything for me, from me.
Yes.
You know, actually loved me without wanting to blur those boundaries, and just, you know, and accepted me for who I am and understood my close relationship with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Was never jealous of that, you know, very supportive of that.
What
so he's very understanding.
Man.
Yeah, so he was really, really good. He was an entrepreneur.
Yeah, there we go. So he was right.
He was one
the
of the characters in Alan Bond. You know, the Alan Bond series. Well, anyway, he worked for Alan Bond back in those days.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, that would
another
be another
story.
Hour.
Exactly. But, yeah, so it was just the realisation of repeating that pattern again, you know, repeating my father's pattern. And that, you know, it just – but the relationship just wasn't right. So it was time for me to move on. Yeah, so.
Okay. All right. So we might pop on another song.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking You Gotta Be. Here we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to RPP 98.7 and I'm chatting with Simone Walsh.
Your story counts.
That's it. And it does.
And we're heading for a top of 13 degrees today.
Yeah, pop out now because it should be right at this moment.
Right.
And then it just drops away for the rest of the day.
Yes.
Anyway, so let's go into the new phase,
Yes,
so
this is the exciting finding myself phase because once I left I thought, well, I've got to work on myself now. I don't want to keep repeating patterns moving forward and I need to work out who I am, what I want. And so I went and had lots of therapy and also to work on, you know, having therapy around sexual abuse and my abandonment issues and, you know, all the various issues that I had growing up. And so I did all that and did workshops and read books.
Spent a small fortune.
Yeah, well, you know what? I didn't have any money, but I managed to find money somehow to be able to do all that. And so I ended up working in real estate and that's how I sort of got my money together as well, because I was selling property and doing property management. And
again, I could imagine, because you got along so well, being Aquarius, but also with everything you experienced, you were able to get along with anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. But
understand
I was really
what their needs were. You know what I mean?
That's
yeah.
right.
Assess your needs really quickly, build a rapport, I could imagine.
Yeah, but I was really bored in real estate, and it wasn't really what I wanted to do, but it was a means to an end. It gave me a stable income so I could support Joss financially, because I didn't have a child support or anything like that. I didn't ask for that. I just wanted my complete freedom, so I was completely independent. And so we just did the 1 week on, 1 week off, and so, which was difficult, because 1 week you're a parent and then the next week you're not, and so that emotional detachment, which I could sort of do in a way because of what's happened in my childhood, I was able to manage it okay. But it still was heartbreaking because I couldn't have Joss all the time. Like, you know, and that, having that
separation anxiety, isn't it? You know, when you're that close to your child.
Yeah, we were very close. Yeah. We're still very close. Yeah, so so what I did though was I created these vision boards because I was really unhappy, and I cut out words that meant something to me, and pictures, and I had one because I wanted to be in a healthy relationship, and I wanted one that was to do with my coaching, because I really wanted to get into coaching and use the skills that I'd learnt through my therapy and through my childhood to be able to help others, because I felt like I'd be able to connect and understand other people's journey. So I put all this up on a vision board, and I put them in my bedroom. And then one day I was in a property, selling this property in Queens Road, Melbourne, and this mother came up to me and said, you know, was interested in buying this house, and I just got some intuition and I said, what are you running away from? And she reacted very strongly to that and said, how dare you, you know, step over the line, basically. You know, I'm here to buy a house and you're, you know, encroaching in my personal life. And I had to do major rapport building to get that back on track.
Right back out.
Exactly. So anyway, I sold the property to her and that was fine. And then she said, Simone, can I come and see you for some counselling? And I said, look, I'm not qualified. I can't.
Yeah.
But I know I can help you. And so I spent a whole weekend with her and helped her in a relationship, and she flew back overseas. And then her mother came to me and said, can I help you? And And I said, sure. And I spent 6 months with her. And then she said, Simone, for everything you've done for my family, you haven't charged, you know, I want to give something back. And she said, I want to buy you a Volkswagen car. And I said, what? I said, no. I said, I just could not believe it. So anyway, I went back and sat on the edge of my bed and I looked up and I'd cut out a Volkswagen car.
Wow.
On my vision board.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is I was driving a Volkswagen Polo at the time, and it was a high lease on it, and I really was struggling paying for it. And I thought I was always going to be earning. I never thought I was going to be given it. And so I thought, well, I have to say yes to this because I manifested it. So I went back to her and I said, I said, yes, I'll take it. And she wrote a check for $47,000.
Wow.
And that's when I believed in myself that I could do this and I can help other people. And that was
her real statement of gratitude, wasn't it? It's like, you know, what you're doing is working.
Yes,
And it's really helped our family, and people just value that.
Absolutely. So it really meant that I, you know, gave me that opportunity to really take that further. And then I thought, well, I'm going to go and, you know, I'm going to become a coach now.
Fabulous. So that was the beginning of Simone Walsh's life coaching business.
That's right.
Wow.
So, I got into coaching and set up my own business in St Kilda Road in the city, and it was called Jigsaw Business Solutions back then. And, so I did that for over 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And so there's a lot of stories in there for you. But the wonderful thing, I think, why you would have been such a successful life coach is because every scenario that you would have been confronted with, you would have said, I know how that feels.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I could really get in
their
shoes.
Your apprenticeship, like you said, started, at a very young age.
Yeah.
And so any scenario you had empathy for.
Absolutely.
And also that strength to say, been there and we can get through this.
Yeah.
Because I did, you can.
Absolutely.
We laughed, didn't we, last week, where we sort of said, you know, when you're a life coach, you're often only just a week ahead of your clients.
That's right. It's true.
You know?
Yeah, and you tend to attract the clients that, you know, you've already been through that stuff with, so that you can actually help them through.
Yeah. Amazing time in your life. Yeah, hey, just to find your own you know, that's your gift.
Yeah.
That's that people like you.
Absolutely.
It's not something you're doing, it's something you're giving.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So there wasn't too much leverage in that though. So it was like, you know, full on coaching and one-on-ones and so on. But, you know, there wasn't much financial leverage in that. And so I really thought, what can we do differently? And, you know, I was in relationship, with Margie, and I said to her, what does she know about nutritional genomics? And she said, well, not a lot, but she said, she comes from a cancer diagnostic background. And I said, well, what if we started our own nutritional genomics and do preventative health as opposed to waiting for people to fall off a cliff?
Yeah, right. So you're saying, well, what's the solution to all these stories?
Yeah.
How could we catch it, you know, before they fall?
Exactly.
You know, and, yeah, support them in an understanding of how their genetics work.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So, yeah, so we set up Smart DNA. That's how it, in 2009 and created some tests that people could take to get an idea of what they've inherited from their mum and dad.
Mm.
And have a preventative health approach. So,
And that's been keeping you very busy.
That has. Very busy.
So, but, you know, again, it's the why, isn't it? It's you saying, well, why do people find themselves in that position? Why do people behave in certain ways?
Yeah.
And I guess it's you really still trying to, I feel, it's you still trying to find an understanding of, you know your dad deep down would love you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do know he loves me.
Of course. Of course he does.
Yes.
do you know what I mean? It's you.
Yeah. How
but
could
it's
he not?
Like what's happened, isn't it? It's that inquisitive mind of yours to say, well, what was his DNA that drove him into those sort of behaviours? Because it wasn't malicious. It was just him just expressing himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and how does all that tick?
Yeah.
And how could we solve that? How could we, you know, harness that to make it a different course of action, a different path?
And the thing is, your emotional stuff manifests in the physical.
Yes.
So to be able to, you know, have the tools to be able to look at that and be able to do something about it through food, supplementation or lifestyle interventions is really important.
Mm. So, of course, with what I do as kinesiology, I'm fascinated to find a little bit more information about that. Like what are some of the patterns that you're seeing that are coming out from some of these tests? Are you finding that obviously there's a lot more issues with, we all know, with allergies and intolerances and autism and, you know.
Absolutely.
It's really changing our community.
Well, I think our environment is what I'm noticing is just having a huge impact on our health. So what we breathe in, you know, what we're ingesting, what we're eating, you know, we've done so much damage to our food system with all the chemicals and sprays that we put on the food. You know, it's impacting our health, and if you've got poor detoxification pathways like I do, then you are not going to be able to remove them from your body. So I have to take a non-enzyme approach to actually being able to clear the toxins out of my body, which means taking a glutathione support to be able to do that, for instance, as an example. Otherwise, if I didn't know that and didn't do it, you know, eventually I would have some sort of cancer or something happen to me.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really important. Yeah. And your environment, you know, and I know that I can't wear perfumes. I can't, you know, everything's green, like removed all chemicals from the house, you know, eating organic food, you know, wherever possible.
It's really challenging at the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, knowledge is power, but at the same time, at the beginning, it's quite disempowering because you think, oh, my God, where do I start?
Well, the thing is, I grew up on McDonald's, like in the 70s, like that was a big thing, McDonald's. I even know I used to, you know, the Big Mac, two old beef patty specials, that is cheese because onion is sesame seed. I used to get free Big Macs. That's how I used to eat.
Yeah.
I used to go in there and I used to get the free Big Mac. I used to be addicted to McDonald's, and that was a staple thing in my life because it was cheap, right? Cheap food. Yeah. And I had no idea that
was
really
keeping
bad.
Keeping you small.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But that food was bad. I had no consciousness of that whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I looked at what's really in it that I cried for days knowing that.
Yeah. And it's crazy, isn't it? Because you're most vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, that financial difficulty enforces you in a way to make poor decisions.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's the time you need all your neurons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To problem solve out of it.
Exactly.
But, you know, if you're eating foods that are sort of, you know, dumbing you down.
Yes.
Which is this cycle, isn't it, that we're in. So how do you find a way out when you're not thinking clearly?
Absolutely.
And it's just, it's just terrible to think.
I know.
That, you know, vulnerable parts of our community, how do they break that cycle when their choices are quite poor?
Yeah. And another thing that I had epiphany about when I was 25 was that, you know, that you're responsible for your own happiness. And I really thought that everyone else was responsible for my happiness. I really did believe it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And absolutely. So when I had that realization and cried for 3 days, then I realized that we could just take charge and I can make myself happy.
It's such a liberating feeling, isn't
it? Yeah.
You remove all blocks.
Exactly.
But you do have to have the breakdown
to
have the breakthrough.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is very difficult. And in the clinic, I talk a lot about the fact that we kind of, in life, we're sort of born, particularly if we're on the journey.
Yeah.
You're sort of born and then you sort of get into this rip, you know, and it takes you right out to sea to, like you said, to areas that you don't feel really suit you or are your destiny. But you have to spend time out there to sort of understand how it feels to be out there with the sharks.
Yes.
You know, and you know, understand all the wisdom and all of the challenges that come with that, and to see who you are in that setting.
Yeah.
Whether you become stronger or, you know, whether you're not your best form of yourself and work your way out of it. And then there's a point in your life, isn't there, where you just start saying enough.
Yes.
You know, I need to start taking charge and I really want to swim back to shore.
Yeah.
And when you swim back to shore, though, when you get there, you've got all these amazing pearls of wisdom and understanding of yourself and the world around you that you just don't care. This is me.
Exactly. You know, accept yourself.
Zero.
That's right. Exactly.
Love me or leave me.
That's right. You know, exactly.
This is who I am. This is what I do. And I love my life. Full stop.
And it's about having a relationship with yourself and not coming from that place of need.
That's
which
right.
I was so driven by and struggle, like they were my addictions, you know.
Mm. And that's that turning point, isn't it?
When absolutely.
You start, and that is, it's an effort because you're going against the rip.
The rip,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? And
going
you really have
the flow.
To be powerful and strong and determined. There needs to be a real, you know, it's you start wanting to be fit and healthy.
Yes.
You want to, you know, if you think about swimming back, you want to do freestyle with strength.
Yeah.
You know, you want your organs to work well, you want your muscles to work well. You know, you want to be eating great things, you want to be clear, you know, so that you can get back into shore.
You want to respect yourself. You want to honor yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through what you've just said.
Mm. And then when you get there, you just want to expand.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, care factor zero, so here's your message, you know, if anyone wants to listen, fantastic.
That's right.
So with that, I'd like to put on your next song, which is, I absolutely adored Michael Jackson. He's the one that got me through my childhood, I think. Man in the Mirror. Here we go. Oh, I love Michael Jackson.
So do I. Isn't it a good song?
Oh, yeah, just start finding myself, you know, doing a few moves.
That's right, exactly.
It's a bit frightening.
I know, I noticed that. Wish I had a video so I could have videoed you and put that on Facebook.
Yeah, three bottles of champagne, you'll see it all come out.
You're listening to Simone and Nat.
RPP 98.7. And the boys have arrived from Beyond Infinity and they're getting set up for the next show, which will be coming on at 11 o'clock.
Fantastic.
So here we are, hey? You've basically gone through a childhood of, you know, born in a beautiful home to Seaford Caravan Park.
Yeah.
To surviving that with some real challenges.
Yes.
But wonderful, strong women in your life that got you through.
Yeah.
You found your knight in shining armour.
Yes. Well, I thought I did.
which was the fairy tale at the time.
Yes, it was.
Including horse and cart and the whole bit.
Yeah.
But it was that moment, wasn't there, where you go, I've just got to keep learning and I've just got to keep moving.
Yes.
And that's when you went through that process of the man in the mirror, really looking at who you are and taking full responsibility.
Exactly, and making that change.
Making that massive
doing the work.
Change.
You have to do the work.
You do. Now, at 49,
shush.
I'm just saying, sorry. Okay, the rest of the world knows that now.
Yeah.
7 year cycle.
Yeah.
Yep. So
more
when
change.
You think about it, you've got another 7 years coming, just starting.
Just saying.
And I'm frightened to think what you're going to do next.
Wow. Well, it's all very exciting. You know, I have found a happy place. I finally got there and it has taken all this time really to get there. And interestingly enough, even in my environment, like we've moved back to the peninsula, living in Mount Martha.
That is interesting.
Living in a house with a pool. Like I hadn't had a pool since.
No, since Adelaide.
Yeah, since four and a half.
Isn't it interesting? Full cycle.
Full cycle. Mm-hmm. And have sandstone in the house.
Yes, like, you do too.
Like it's just all like a real full circle. Mm,
with a view to die for.
Yeah, a view to die for. And, you know, really feeling content and feeling at home really for the first time in my life. Mm. Up until now, never felt at home. Everywhere we've lived, never felt connected to it, never felt comfortable.
Settled enough. Even when you said about, you know, your Sundays of being able to just light the fire.
Yeah, just chill, relax, not have worries. Mm. Even though, you know, we've got this global business now doing this DNA.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're so humble. Yeah. I mean, this business is incredible. Yeah. And it is, you know, worldwide, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you run seminars and, you know, educate, obviously, naturopaths, is that right? You know,
integrative doctors. Yeah.
Everyone all around the world to say, hey, here's something we can do that's preventative.
Yes.
As opposed to kind of Band-Aid.
Exactly. So we are making a difference in the world with health and well-being, and it does change people's consciousness of who they are, and that's what I love about it too, because it's still bringing in, you know, what I love doing when connecting with people is to be able to shift their consciousness from where they are to where they need to be or where they want to be. Mm. So that's still a common theme throughout, which I love.
So that still stayed the same, hasn't all the way through. Yeah. Is that connection with yourself and that strive forward of, awareness and, you can do anything.
Absolutely. And I believe that. I believe that.
We've experienced it.
Yeah. And I still am excited about the future, because it's where we are now is not where we're going to be. But I'm loving where we are right now. Mm. Like, I am happy. We've got two gorgeous dogs. My son Joss is so happy where he is right now. He started
a business, his own business. Yeah. So there we go, following in your footsteps. Exactly. So he's also an entrepreneur.
Yeah, at the age of, he just turned 27 and he's just started a gym in Murrumbina next to Oasis called Pulsate. So
isn't that ironic that Oasis happens to sponsor us, but actually...
Yeah, and Joss is really good friends with them and I go there and...
There's the synchronicity right there.
I know.
Fabulous.
I know, and so I'm very proud of him.
About them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what sort of gym has he opened up?
So it's a PT studio. So you go there and you do either group classes or you do PT.
Yes, okay.
So he's only just opened over a month ago, but he's done it all himself with a mate. And very proud that he's, you know, is entrepreneurial and is paving his own way.
Absolutely. And he looks so happy and he's so healthy and powerful and he's just, he's got...
I wish he took after me and my body ripped, but a bit slow to catch up. I don't know what happened there, that gene thing. Like,
he just got a little bit more of something else.
Yes. I think it's, I don't know what it is. Willpower, maybe.
Maybe,
He doesn't have the relationship with food that I have. Like, he's so strong. Yeah, I just love food too much.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about that, didn't we? And I was thinking, God, we need to get some recipes in, I think, because I could imagine you'd be an amazing cook.
But it became comfort food for me. Like, that was the thing. Mum always
You could get every day.
Yeah, and Mum always made sure we had good food because she loved food and she was a great cook. Mm. And, you know, lollies, like as a kid, and that used to be my joy, like getting money to go to the milk bar.
Yeah, that gave you that serotonin hit go, you know what, it's not that bad.
So I had that strong association that so food meant happiness and fun for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it still does today.
Yeah, I love it.
But you can just make it a little bit different. It doesn't, it doesn't have to be the Big Mac anymore.
I know. Well, do you know what? I don't do that
anymore. Yeah, no.
Which is a big thing, really, for me.
You do the gorgeous, you know.
Real food. We cook food.
Yeah.
From scratch.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now, you know what? So, yeah, so it sounds incredible where you've got to. So the fascination and the, I guess, that sense of community, that sense of contributing.
Yes.
Of something that is embryonic that you did yourselves.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you've got a lab that happens to be, you know.
In Monash.
At Monash, isn't that right?
Yeah.
You've created that yourselves as well.
Yeah. So we do the testing there and then we've obviously got distributors all around the world who are promoting our testing. So
So, okay, that's all fabulous. So Joss is okay. Your business is fantastic. Your dogs are healthy.
Yeah.
You know,
a great relationship.
Fabulous relationship with a beautiful house.
Yeah.
But I know you too well.
Yeah.
What's next?
What's next? Well, my parents have just bought established a new business at the ripe old age of their 70s.
Wow.
And it's an airline business, and so we got access to an 80-seater business class.
Private jet. Jet.
Well, it's a big plane. It's an ex-Qantas plane.
Yeah.
And we're going to be able to do wellness tours.
Fabulous.
So we're going to be able to take people on a journey.
And so you can choose where you want to go anywhere in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can do food and wine tours and all sorts of things. But the wellness tours excites me because it's sort of in line with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And the food will always be there.
Of course. Can you imagine the sort of food you'd have on your plane?
Oh, I know, but we're getting real chefs. We're getting like well-known chefs to design the menu.
Yes.
Depending on where we're going, we're going to tie in the culture, the cuisine to that on the journey.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And the 80 seats, they're more like first class, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can actually lie back and rest.
They're flat beds. Yeah. And you've got 2 metres in front of you. So it's very spacious. It's very high-end.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, and so that's exciting.
That is ridiculously exciting. I think it's every person's dream that you can choose what airport you want to fly into.
I know.
As a group.
Cool. Yeah, as a group.
So if anyone's got 80 friends, yeah, exactly. I'll come.
Exactly.
Yeah, fabulous. And there's golf tours, is that right?
Yeah, and single malt tours. And we're doing the Winter Wonderland. So people are going to, at Christmas time, going to see Santa Claus and Northern Lights. And
And look, we've only got a very short amount of time, but a castle?
That's an option too.
There's a castle. That was a castle you said. You said when I grew up, I knew I was meant to be in a castle.
I know.
And so there's this German castle that's come onto the market through the news.
I know. And we've connected and they're interested in talking to us and swapping houses.
Unbelievable. So you know what? We will be getting Simone Walsh back on to hear about her adventures with her 80-seater plane a castle in Germany. Absolutely. We'd all love to be there. Thank you so much, Simone, for coming on. It's been an amazing 2 hours.
Thank you.
All right. We'll definitely have you back on as the co-host.